This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay-ass accent, them cheap-ass cigars, your yuck-mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Fourth pack is back, cause I'm mass destruction. Guess who's here? The bad boys arrest me. Just in competition when the war does their mission. Not no mercy, see the race like the street. If you don't know, you better find out the war pack. Prove a point, number one, best believe that you don't want to tussle with them. I'll be there for them, coming to green with them. You're never walking out again until you're back on the war path. Don't turn your back on the war path. You might wind up in a body bag.
You, yes, you are listening to the Click Nation Podcast. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G, and tonight I'm joined by... again, my bro, Mr. The Adam Black.
Hey, Twitterverse and the World Wide Web. It is I, The Adam Black.
And that's The underscore Adam underscore Black on Twitter. And I'm Tim D-O-G-G-98 on Twitter. And we're also joined by Larry G, a.k.a. Mr. Bamp.
Evening, bitches.
Yes.
And we also have a special guest tonight, the host of the Cold Slither podcast, Mr. Classic Materio.
Let me correct you, co-host, because, you know, I can't do it alone. Yes, it is I, Classic Materio, a.k.a. Classic Materia on Twitter. That's a classic with an I-C-K. And domo arigato, motherfuckers.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
We hyped.
Well, I'm glad and honored to be a guest on the show, guys.
Thanks for joining us, Classic.
Appreciate it, man.
And just some little house kicks, house cleaning chores to get out of the way. We can be found at our website, theclicknation.com. That's click spelled K-L-I-Q. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Our Google Plus, G Plus, another way to say it, page. Just search for Click Nation. And on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And we're also, of course, on Twitter at The Click Nation. So tonight's show is going to be focused on WWE and their showcase of the Immortals, WrestleMania, and the Raw that took place after WrestleMania. So, I guess first things first, what was everyone's initial impressions of WrestleMania?
It was all right. It wasn't the best. A couple of the matches that I thought were going to be really good, the Jericho and Punk match, I thought really it took like the first 5 minutes, kind of started off slow. But I guess the last 10, 15 minutes of it were better. I just wish they had started off a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree. With the Jericho and CM Punk match, I think what happened, and you know, I would have thought better. I expected better from it, but that angle with the substance abuse and Jericho calling out CM Punk's father and his mother and all this and sister, I think it took away from the start of that match, because all they kept focusing on was, oh, CM Punk can't get disqualified, because he might lose the title, rather than showcasing the two skilled technical wrestlers, you know, sort of going at it. Later in the match, it became move versus move, counter versus counter. It became a real wrestling match. But at first, it was just, you know, it was all storyline and telling the story, which, you know, for the kids, I'm sure it was great. But for a lot of us seasoned wrestling fans, it was kind of like, come on, let's get on with it already.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I mean, the match in itself, like I said, was actually a pretty decent match. But, you know, I mean, you know, like Classic said, you know, we were dealing with all, you know, dealing with the whole, you know, substance abuse thing, you know, with the mom and with his dad and his sister. It's like, okay, cool. Okay, yeah, we've done that. We understand. We know. Okay, let's hurry up and get to the actual wrestling match. You know, still personally, I think they should have got Chris Brown and let CM Punk and Chris Brown go at it. That would have been like,
Oh, now so I think about it. Chris Brown should have been in Chris Jericho's corner. That would have been great. You want to talk about celebrity involved. But then again, you got the whole thing with Chris Brown not being involved and WWE being a publicly traded company. That would have not looked good for them publicly.
True.
I don't know. Vince kind of is always, you know, he always wants some type of controversy. But I guess nowadays, what with a wife that's trying to run for Senate, wherever in Connecticut, I guess, you know, you can't have, a woman beater on the show.
Oh, well, Vince is still not above offensive, segments and parts of the show. As right. We'll find out as we talk about this pay-per-view.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go down match by match or segment by segment, and just we can talk about things as they occur. The first match was the challenger Sheamus taking on Daniel Bryan for the world heavyweight title, which Sheamus won in 5 seconds after he kissed his girlfriend AJ outside the ring, turned around and stepped right into a bro kick from Sheamus.
Bro kick.
Brooklyn.
Wow.
Yeah,
that was kind of like, because I honestly got looked away and turned around and Sheamus had won. I was like, well, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, I was literally going to get some food. You know, I had some people over, had my neighbor over, the homie Eclectic from Colts of the Podcast, our co-host, he was over, and I literally like stepped away. I was like, you know, get some beers. I come back, and I was like, so what's up? What happened to the match? Where is it? Oh, it's over. And
right.
Thank goodness for DVR. I had to rewind it, and I passed over it back to the beginning of the show. I was like, wait a minute. Did I pass over the whole match? 18 seconds. Yes. What the fuck, Vince? Wow.
Blink and you missed it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And did we ever get a real reason why this happened?
According to a rumor I read, is that somewhere the writers or Vince or whoever decided that they wanted to go for the shortest title match in history. So even though they didn't quite get it, because that Chavo match with Kane a few years back was still the shortest. I forgot how many seconds, but I think it was less than 5 for that match. So,
but to do it for your world title match, you know, at WrestleMania. Right. You know, with Daniel Bryan, who's a first-time champion. I mean, that's just demeaning, you know?
I would have rather them doing it in a dark match again.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know about all that.
But, I mean, that's a heat killer for Daniel Bryan. You know, I hate Daniel Bryan, but damn. I mean, you're going to do your champion like that?
Yeah.
I mean, God. I mean, you basically just bear that dude, you know, for the rest of the year.
Well, and from what I understand, and I saw the video after Raw was online, this has actually turned into kind of a face turn for Daniel Bryan, because his internet fans are now fully behind him.
Yeah.
You know, I heard about the reaction at Raw about that.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. At least they were in Miami. Let's see if that carries over, if they go anywhere else.
That's true.
But yeah, this thing with Vince and the world record, this goes back to Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio Jr. and why he had like two mass wrestlers in the company, you know. And if you recall, back when Sin Cara was healthy and Rey, the idea was to have the both have a match and have a world record for the most masks in one place.
What?
Yeah, that was one of the plans they had was, you know, because of the following that Rey Mysterio had and the kids with the masks, they were going to do a thing where they wanted the crowd to each have masks, and it would be like, while they had the match, the world record would be for the most people wearing masks in one area. You know, so however many, what, the 78,000 or whatever in attendance, most of them were masks. And so I don't know if maybe because they couldn't get that record, both wrestlers being injured, that they decided to go for this. But it's very flawed thinking to, you know, at the cost of your title.
Yeah, at this point, I was like, the day after, I was like, you know what? Just unify the championships, because he obviously doesn't care about the world championship. But
well, yeah, hasn't cared about him in a long time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and it's burial because you know, let's look back. That's the WCW belt.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. Doesn't care that much about the WCW.
Pretty much, he's never going to give WCW any type of credit. You know, the revisionist history. He's going to always display about WCW is that basically it was like some hokey company forever, and you know, he's never going to give the world championship, or as we call it, the flare belt, any type of recognition. At first he did, but not now.
Well, I mean, you know, that was back when Triple H was running around with the damn title, so you know how that is.
Yeah, true. Yeah. As he buried every WCW star for a year.
For a year.
That's about sums up that first match.
Yeah.
And next we had Randy Orton taking on Kane. In a feud, just a regular blood feud, which surprisingly Randy Orton lost and Kane was the victor.
Yeah, I was surprised at that.
Well, it's no secret I'm actually quite a big fan of Kane. You know, I always felt like, you know, they've done him dirty over the years, and he's been a company man. So, you know, I like the fact that he got the win at WrestleMania. Yeah, it does further the feud, but at the same time, you know, you kind of want to just move on.
Yeah.
It doesn't really do Kane any favors, you know, to get the win in that fashion. It wasn't like he was dominant. Okay. You know, they wasted his comeback.
I agree. I agree with that. Totally agree with that.
It was surprising just how much putting people over Randy Orton's done this year. He got Mark Henry over.
Not once, but twice.
Yeah, twice.
And then, you know, lose dirty. He lost clean to Mark Henry. Twice.
Strongest man. Somebody gonna get the ass kicked.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Somebody gonna get the wick split.
3-6 Mafia. You know, I would prefer 3-6 Mafia live over what we saw in terms of live performances.
Oh, let's not talk about the live performances right now.
That'll be later in the night.
Yeah.
Later in the night. Oh, God.
Have it written down on the notes.
Oh, thank God. I feel a rant with that one. I really do. But go ahead.
And next we had some Divas action and a tag match with Evil Eve and Beth Phoenix took on Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos. With Maria Menounos pinning the Divas champion, Beth Phoenix.
Because that makes total sense.
Yeah, kids, if you're listening at home, lesson to you, you don't wear white pants in a wrestling match.
No, you don't.
Ever.
And stick your ass in a chick's face with a lot of makeup on. So, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look.
Get the turkey stain on your butt.
Yeah, but surprisingly an entertaining match. You know, I think the storyline or the angle of Maria with the two bad ribs, which is real. I mean, she does have two fractured ribs. And the whole time I just kept thinking, well, how is she going to approach this match? Is she going to take bumps, anything? You know, I didn't hit the bathroom during that match at all.
I mean, at least you got some eye candy to look at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't hit the restroom when Divas are fighting.
Yeah, I think some other people may have a different opinion on that, but you know.
You know how that is. Yeah.
And after the women's match, we had a Hell in a Cell a.k.a. the end of an era. Triple H taking on The Undertaker with Shawn Michaels as the guest referee.
It was a very good, very good storied match. I thought, you know, looking back at it, I was like, okay, it wasn't as terrible as I thought it was. I'm like, man, the match last year was better, which it was, but...
It was, you know.
Yeah. The use of the Hell in the Cell was kind of wasted.
Of course. Yeah,
right. You know, I agree with that because I'm like, you know, it's Hell in the Cell, and it, I mean, because it was basically just a cage match, really.
Yeah. Nobody climbed the cage. No one was on the top, or you know, no one had any like high spots. And you know, there wasn't like really any blood. You know, like, you know, you didn't see like Triple H's face rammed into the cage or anything like that. It was just mostly, I think, the cage kind of served as a, you know, a no DQ stipulation, so they could use chairs.
Yes, yes, right. That's true.
Yeah.
They go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing. Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say the rumor going in was that they were going to use the cage as a weapon, which they barely did. I mean,
they can't do much with it because they not that like they can bleed. And yeah. PG Raiden.
Yeah. Shout out to Eclectic. He wanted to bring back the old steel cages, like
the blue cage.
Yeah, the whole King Kong Bundy cage. He's like, this chain link fix thing is not doing it, man. You know. And then we spent the whole match talking about different kinds of cages throughout wrestling history, and like, you know, his opinion, the 3-tier cage from Ready to Rumble was the greatest ever. In mine, I think the Elimination Chamber is an awesome structure, you know, but. Yeah, I mean, the lack of use of the cage. And the other thing, the other negative from the match, although it was only slight, was Shawn Michaels overacting.
I mean, man.
That's what Shawn does. He sells even when he's not.
Even when he ain't got to sell. That's Shawn. He sells.
Yeah.
You know. And is it me and Shawn can, like, it's amazing. He can cry at the drop of a hat. What is that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm.
Some notes that I had written down were. The nasty welts that were on the back of Taker, from all the chair shots that Triple H was giving them.
Oh man, yeah, that was worth the price of admission. Just seeing that the vicious shots and what they could do with those chair shots and creating those welts without hitting someone over the head. You know, all the chair shots were on the back. You know, but they were really going at it.
Yeah,
and they don't even do that many chair shots anymore because it wasn't just chair shots to the head, they outlawed.
Yeah, they outlawed that because of the concussions and, you know, the research with that, with the NFL. And, you know, one of their alumni, Chris Nowinski, being at the forefront of that movement in the NFL and in the professional sports for concussions. So yeah, it would be bad. Yeah.
Go ahead. And I'm sorry.
Of course, I had Sean crying for the last 15, 20 minutes of the match, but we already mentioned that. Like you say, the man knows how to sell.
Mm-hmm. It's my boy.
Sell those tears.
That's my boy. Even though his eye is crooked, but that's okay. It's okay.
Shout out to St. Ives, the crooked eye. St. Ives, the crooked eye.
Man, that takes me back. Okay.
And then, of course, the match ended as all Undertaker WrestleMania matches ended with him being the victor, getting the 1-2-3. This time, all three men were able to walk out of the ring, and as they got to the top of the entrance, they all did a group hug together.
Okay, here's the thing. I like the mutual respect. You know, you got to have that. That's great. You know, that's man to man. That's real competitor stuff. But the man hug at the top of the ramp, you know, the curtain call part two or something. I don't know if, like, Undertaker was down with the click now or...
That looked too much for you. That was a little too much for you.
Man, that shit was like Lord of the Rings when the hobbits are hugging each other. I'm like, what the hell is this? Am I watching the right pay-per-view?
Right.
Friends don't shake hands. Friends got a hug.
I was expecting to hear Thug in Love playing in the background.
Oh, wow.
Good God.
Oh, man. Wow.
that's something that needed to be done backstage. All right, yes. Just right. Hug it out.
Do that. Yeah, hug that shit out backstage, man.
Backstage, yeah. Don't be hugging all on the stage. You know, just like, you know, like DRS stars singing, "This is for my homies."
Yeah. Yeah, there's job well done, and there's patting yourself on the back too much. And I think that, you know, kind of went over. Although, you know, people were caught up in the moment, so I don't think anybody but some of us at home were probably had a problem with that. You know, right. This sets the stage for next year. When, you know, will they do it again? Will there be another person involved?
Please,
four-way, whatever, you know.
look, dude, we're going to have Undertaker's going to retire, and he's going to come back to WrestleMania every year just to, like, wrestle somebody. It's going to be, you know, like the next, next year, it's going to be a six-pack challenge for the streak. Watch.
And we also had Jim Ross get to do the commentary for the match.
Thank goodness.
Good old evil JR. That goatee, he looked like his evil.
Yeah.
I know, right?
That's like, is that Garth from Knight Rider?
Him and Harvey Burt, man.
Wow. Okay.
From the evil came in dark like, universe.
Yeah, came in and looked like evil Mr. Spock.
Yeah. But it was nice for once to hear a match and not hear vintage or, you know, that Michael Cole commentary, which we've gotten so accustomed to, you know, hating.
Right.
Yeah. Now Michael Cole gets like that go away heat that, I mean, people just cannot stand him. They don't want to see him come out. They don't want to, you know, they don't want him around, but WWE keeps him around for some reason.
Gotta bring him out for the special occasions.
Yeah. Let's have some embarrassment
with his
family or something. I don't know.
He keeps coming back, though, so it ends up being his fault.
Yeah.
But anyway. Let's see what else was next. We had the Hall of Fame inductees were brought out. Mike Tyson looked nice and slim for someone his age. It's good to see. We had Ric Flair joining the Four Horsemen.
Exactly.
And, of course, Edge got a haircut.
Right.
And his hair isn't blonde anymore.
Oh, well. I mean, it was...
Oh, well, you know, he ain't wrestling no more, so, you know, he can go au naturel.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, damn!
Oh, yeah, Ron Simmons. Damn, Mr. Perry. Hey. Mr. Warner Robins, George's own.
Y'all peep the rings, man? Brother was flossing. Yeah. Like, what? Go ahead, brother.
He's in all the different Hall of Fames, including the Cult Slitter Podcast, Wrestlecast Hall of Fame.
Did y'all get him a ring yet?
We didn't get him a ring, no.
We got to work on that.
Yeah, I don't know. We might have to go to a trophy store and get some plaques or something. Is that,
right.
Some stickers or something. I don't know.
Or get him a ring pop and just send him that. Like, here you go.
There you go.
And then we had the 12-man match of Team Johnny versus Team Teddy with John Laurinaitis dressed as the Brother Love.
Good God, that suit.
All he was missing was the red skin of Brother Love, the super tan.
Oh, God.
Oh, interesting factoid about that. Kevin Pritchard, is that who played Brother Love?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's with TNA right now, TNA Impact. He suffered a heart attack recently.
Yeah, I heard. Wow. I think it was like two heart attacks at once.
Yeah, and then Michael Cole, in his commentary, he goes, "Yeah, that suit is so disgusting. It would give me a heart attack." You know,
I didn't even pay attention.
No, he said that suit is so wild it would give Brother Love a heart attack, and I was like, "Wow, that's a shot." Wow. You read the internet, you find these little tidbits out. And I was like, "Yeah, Michael Cole, you're an asshole."
Right,
pretty much. Yeah. I think that character is truly, that's Michael Cole. That's how he is every
day. I think that's him, man. That's what a dick. And I'm like, and the biggest asshole as I am, he's disgusting.
Yeah, pro wrestling, though. I mean, they stick these little ribs in all the time. We talked about this during the WrestleCast Hall of Fame, talking about Dusty Rhodes and how the whole thing with Virgil and how he had a black character and they named him Virgil because Dusty was first name was Virgil and he thought he was black.
Right.
Vince taking a jab at him. And then when Vincent came over to WCW, Dusty was the head booker and named him Shane after Shane McMahon. And then, of course, when he joined the NWO, he was Vince.
Yes.
He's named everything except his real name.
So the inside jokes will, you know, continue to happen throughout the industry.
What I got to use the black man for all the inside jokes?
I know.
I'm just saying, man. I know, right? Really? What kind of bullshit is that?
I don't know what kind of inside joke Brutus Clay is, but he's a rib on somebody.
Somebody somewhere. What the hell? I mean, it must be okay to coon on national television where WWE is concerned. Is it really? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. If you were a black dude, I'd be really upset. But, you know, okay. I remember when he debuted, I just laughed my ass off because I was like, oh, yeah, the internet's going fucking crazy right now.
And you know what? He got nothing as Brutus Clay before.
Yeah.
Got no kind of pop, nothing. So, I mean, it's kind of a necessary evil for some. You know, unfortunately, it's for a lot of us. You got a soundtrack?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's my phone keeps damn ringing.
And during the Team Johnny versus Team Teddy match, we had Evil Eve interject herself again by costing Zack Ryder the pinfall, and Team Teddy, or Team Johnny, took the win. And I have a funny quote from Pat Prezi on Twitter that we were laughing at during the night. What's your goddamn problem? Skeezer.
Hold on 1 second, fellas. I got to depart for a minute. Be right back.
All right.
Oh, man, I was going to get Larry to do his skeezer.
Soon as Eve jumped in the ring during the woo-woo-woo, I said, yeah, here comes Yoko Ono. So fuck it all up, because, I mean, you could tell right there that was the end of the match.
Pretty much. I mean, but the thing is like, Zack Ryder knew what was going on. And still, you know, she admitted on TV, I used Zach. I did all this stuff to get the Cena, to get on top. And he's still, what you call it, Tim?
Being Captain Simp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
Over
the biggest loser
over
of the
and
night.
Over again. You think they'd be saying something up where he'd get his big, what's the word I'm looking for? Revenge.
Yeah.
On Eve, but so far it hasn't happened.
Yeah. Well, you saw that it was the sign was that it wasn't going to be good because they got back together just before WrestleMania, right when he's joining the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, she accompanies them down to the ring. You know? Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Shout out to Thundercats. Yes. But, yeah, and you kind of saw – I like the camera shot that they had right at the end of the match where the whole team of Team Teddy's, like, staring at Zack Ryder and Eve. And then, like, they all turn to Eve like, you know, you cost us everything.
Yeah, that's when Booker T let out his skeezer.
And then she Rochambeau'd Zack Ryder, kicked him squat in the nuts.
Mm-hmm. And then she got infinitely hotter.
Yes. Boy, I'm telling you.
Then we had the WWE title match of the contender and Chris Jericho taking on CM Punk, the champion. And we briefly talked about it earlier, being a little disappointed with the match overall. It had a little slow start, but had a good finish, and we got to see the Lion Tamer and the Walls of Jericho.
Yes.
When he had CM Punk in the Lion Tamer, I thought the match was going to be over because he had him pretty much in the center of the ring, looked like.
Yeah, and got that knee like dug into the shoulder between the shoulder blades. That's how you got to do it, man. I mean,
oh yeah,
sink it in.
Yeah, man. I mean, like I said, the last 10-15 minutes were great.
Yeah, all the reversals and breaking out of the submissions, and then the Anaconda Vice, and then Jericho with the thought to break out of that with the knees to the head. And then Punk adjusting so that the knees would reach his head. Of course, Eclectic was like, well, why don't you just punch him in the head? I was like, Eclectic, man, just, you know. Punk's got to win the match. I mean, you know, come on. You can't think about this too much. He's like, nah, you just punch him in the head. You're done.
Like, okay, stop making sense, man. I'm back.
Welcome back.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Did I miss anything?
We've gone to Punk Jericho.
Oh, okay. Continue.
Yeah, I think we said about everything there is to say about that match. After the WWE title match, we had a dance segment with the Funkasaurus and a bunch of his mamas.
Oh, God.
Now let's go through the cycle of disappointment, stage by stage. They come out, right? And you're like, oh, man, the Funkasaurus. That means he's got a match. And that means we're going to see, Naomi and Crystal. And they come out, they're on stage, and, you know, he's got a mic. So, obviously, they're not going to have the match. But he's like, everyone's bring out your phones. I'm going to call Mama, you know. And so I'm like, okay, fine. They're going to do this little bit, and they're going to get to dancing. So we're going to see Chris, you know, Naomi drop it low or something like that. You know, we'll see it happen. Mm-hmm. Then and his mama comes out and it's some chick in a wig and, like, you know, the pillows in the right places so that, you know, she looks like 80 years her senior.
Yeah. Right. She got look like she got a big old grandma booty.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then she wearing the grandma dress. Like she should be sitting on the porch, you know, drinking some lemonade or some shit like that.
Like the lady from In Living Color.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which lady from In Living Color?
The one, you know, I don't gossip, so you never, no. You didn't hear that from me.
Yeah, we can't wait to play.
Yeah, man, that was, you know, I was like, all right, it's Brodus Clay. I was like, they are wasting time that could have been used on that World Heavyweight Championship match. So I got mad again.
And now if it was just her, I still would have been okay because she would have either get the hell out the way or she would have joined them in the dance, whatever. But we would still see Naomi and, you know, we would still see the dancers get in. All we want to see is the dancers. We don't give a damn about Brodus Clay. I mean, to be honest. But, and then, oh, the whole Bridge Club come on out. And a whole bunch of young women just dressed up in the old lady suits, you know, with the pillows. And then they start doing a dance number. And I'm like, what in the hell is this?
I knew they were going to squeeze Brodus Clay into WrestleMania somehow with some. I knew it wasn't going to be a match, but a segment. I just wasn't picturing that.
Yeah. Just terrible.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I tweeted on. I put that pic on Twitter.
Oh, of Larry's face.
Oh, yeah, man. Shout out to Larry with the face palm. I showed that pic while at our WrestleMania party here, and it captured our sentiments exactly.
Dude. Oh, God. That whole segment. Oh. Because I have this hatred, innate hatred. Of all things coon. And Brodus Clay, he ain't even black. But he coons so well.
He's part coon.
He's part coon.
Yeah.
He's part coon, and he gets out there, he looks like a fucking ape in the face. And then they just dance.
It makes a junkyard dog dancing on stage with Vicky Sue talking grab them cakes look like Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass, by comparison, you know. I mean, it makes him look distinguished.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, how far we've gone. And Vince is no stranger to, you know, the racist angles. His mama came out. I thought to mine. First, I thought, oh, his mama's coming out. That must be Thea Vidal. They're doing the Shelton Benjamin thing again.
Yeah, I thought about that, too.
I was like, no, they didn't go with an actual older woman. They just took a woman and put her in a suit.
Mm-hmm. And then they took many women and had them be backup dancers.
Yeah. So I'm sure it went over with the crowd because it was a nice little surprise and a little entertainment, you know, while people are going on their popcorn break or taking a little stretch. But, you know,
according to the people, some of the people that were actually there, I heard on a radio show, they said the crowd was eating it up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, God.
Just can't tell those outdoor arenas.
I would have, you know, if I'm, I would have had that happened live, and I would have like cut to a backstage interview, a Mean Gene type interview for the people at home, because we didn't deserve that.
No.
We didn't deserve to see that shit at all. It was like, you know, I was about to write a sternly worded letter to the cable provider asking for a partial refund just for that one segment.
Like, I need my money back.
Paid all my. I don't want the whole money back. Just give me like $12 worth for that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
And then after seeing that cooning and what you said, travesty. I forget the exact word you use, Larry, to describe it, but you could also use it to describe the next part or the next segment, which was the rappers coming out to introduce the main event.
Oh,
let's take it back though. That backstage segment with Heath Slater, the one man rock band, that was kind of funny because he was calling him Florida, which is exactly what a lot of us at home were thinking was Flo Rida. This dude is calling himself Florida.
Right. Yeah. We've been calling him Florida since he came out. Hey, it's Florida. Mm-hmm. But that was a stiff ass push he gave Justin there. It's like, damn.
That's a big dude. Yeah. Honestly, I'm a grown ass man. I never knew what Flo Rida looked like up until then because I had no reason to listen to his music or watch any of his videos or nothing. I was like, that's a big dude.
Big dude.
Right. And then the disrespect, you know, it got even. Actually, you know, let's go in order because obviously he didn't come out first. It was
Machine Gun Kelly came out and introduced John Cena.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like the song, you know, and of course I was like, God dang, he's skinny.
All of them were skinny.
Yeah, man.
Well, Flo Rida wasn't. He's kind of
tall. No.
His group, his band, and I don't know if that's Odd Future or not, or whoever was out with him, his boys. Mm-hmm. And then the old girl was skinny too. It seemed like all of them combined wouldn't have weighed like 200 pounds together, soaking wet.
You know? Holding a brick in their hand.
And of course, what was your favorite part?
Oh, my favorite part of the Machine Gun Kelly performance?
Yes.
Did his polo. That bit was so fresh. Oh, my God. I almost fainted.
That joint was hot.
It was a hot polo. I was like, oh, that was it.
What the hell is Sean Puffy Combs doing here? Oh, that polo is nice, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Polo like, looking right.
It was like, did he? What the fuck? Damn, that's a nice-ass polo.
Man,
and
I mean,
John Cena debuted a new T-shirt,
the Celtic green.
Yeah, real smart. Debut that shirt in Miami.
Right.
The heat was just immense. So he's like, whatever. But there were people in the crowd wearing it, you know. Yeah. To the gimmick shop, and they got their John Cena Celtic green. But you can't see me. My first thought seeing that shirt was, as with all other Cena shirts. What grown man is wearing that out at public? Like, I can't be watering the lawn wearing a John Cena shirt.
Right.
I just can't.
That's just
and
not
he
a
brought
good
back the jorts.
Yep.
Yeah, who gives a damn?
He was taking it back old school.
He should have had a chain around his neck. He should have came out to Basic Thuganomics. If he's taking it really bad.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And Flo Rida came out riding a Tron cycle.
Damn waste of a truck.
I know, right?
And was there not too much else to say about the rap performances?
Didn't Flo Rida have two songs or something?
Yeah. He did two songs and they were both terrible.
I was like, yeah, come on, let's get with it now.
You know, the bad thing about Flo Rida's two songs, I really couldn't tell them apart except for when they broke and he stopped in between the two. But they sounded exactly the same to me. But you know,
yeah, the live performances, you know, before the wrestlers coming out, it's like they got it wrong because it used to be, you know, Lemmy would come out with Motorhead and they would do Triple H's Steam or they would do King of Kings or whatever. You did the theme, you know, Kid Rock came out or whatever, and Limp Bizkit did Rollin'. You actually played the wrestler's theme coming out. You know, Run DMC played the DX out, King of Rock or whatever. Now they're just playing their own record, and then you get entrance.
Right.
It's like,
what's the point?
Well, I thought Machine Gun Kelly was going to be that Invincible song was going to be John Cena's new intro or something like that, but nope. Yeah,
that would have made more sense.
How doubtful.
Yeah. Not that I give a shit anyway, but you know.
None of this is wrestling. This is That's the thing. All this is entertainment. Yeah.
And as for the actual match, it was all right. There wasn't anything really memorable to me except John Cena trying to do the leg drop off the top rope and almost landing on top of the rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was slightly bad.
Killed.
And the Rock, you know, say what you will about his ring rust. I mean, he was on point in certain spots. I mean, he actually, you know, I kind of likened it to riding a bike for him because, you know, he started to get his legs under him in the ring. I mean, he came out looking strong and then, you know.
It looked like he kind of got winded, too.
He did, you know.
Part of the way through there.
Yeah, he was either selling or he was really winded, you know. The endurance in the match, you know, kind of took its toll on him. And John Cena had the upper hand. I mean, he legitimately was going to win that thing.
Yeah.
And of course,
then he did something stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the match ended with John Cena trying to do the people's elbow, but kicked up and hit him with the rock bottom for the 1-2-3.
Which shocked the hell out of me. I'm like, what? He won.
Right. I think shocked the shit out of all of us. Hell, that's, you know, I shook Roy up so bad we beer like dropped all into the
water.
My bad. Good waste of a beer. Sorry.
Damn.
Beer was almost spilled.
We would add a beer bath like Stone Cold. I was expecting like Stone Cold or somebody to run in and just like, you know, ruin it and. Stunner both of them or something for having them stupid ass moves. I mean, The Rock is a great, you know, wrestler, legend of sport, instant Hall of Famer. But that people's elbow was the dumbest wrestling move ever. You know, short of the you can't see me and the freaking worm. No one lays there that long for you to do all that shit.
Oh God, the worm, the worm.
Right. Thanks for bringing back bad memories about that one. Yeah.
Or the balloon.
Or the D-Lo leg drop.
I don't know. I didn't mind D-Lo's leg drop that much.
I didn't mind the D-Lo leg drop. The D-Lo leg drop was actually pretty hot.
Yeah. True. But, I mean, you can't pull that shit off in a wrestling school with a rookie, you know, talking about, yeah, I'm gonna, why don't you lay here while I do all this stuff and, you know, get this move on you? Like, nah. Yeah.
Or, you know, just, you know, especially the worm is like the dumbest thing. It's just a chop. That's it. After all that trouble, it's just a chop.
Just a chop. Just a simple chop.
Simple chop.
Yeah, we won't see Scotty Too Hotty in any Hall of Fame anytime soon.
Thank God.
I don't know. I think I'm going to throw out a name for next year's WrestleCast Hall of Fame. He's a man who damn near brought a whole company to its knees. A former world champion in the celebrity wing of the WrestleCast Hall of Fame, I present to you David Arquette.
Oh, jeez. Well, you know what? We got K-Fed in there. We
might as- celebrity wing needs to, you know, to be filled up.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm about to burn that celebrity wing. It's going to be some like, mysterious fire or some arson or something. You know, like, what happened? I don't know.
Good thing is we have a whole year to before we come back to this and get to voting and whatnot.
Well, may or may not. The selection committee, I spoke to them, and they're like, well, hey, you know, why wait a whole year? Let's do it twice a year. So you never know. We might have something in the fall.
David Arquette, 2013.
Oh, jeez.
Stop it. Stop it.
Adam Black will lead the charge.
I might like nominate one of you guys to be on the selection committee so that we have it fair and you know, in the interest of fairness, you know, Mr. Banff will be on the selection committee or something like that.
Yes, I will. I will gladly accept that role. Yeah. And no, Dave Arquette will not be making it in. I mean, I'm sorry,
David Arquette.
Just saying. I mean, you know,
maybe Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson, yes, but fuck the Arquettes.
I mean, I put Lawrence Taylor in before David Arquette.
And that's saying.
Lawrence Taylor only won one match.
Yeah, and he sucked.
Yeah. I put what's his name, Dr. Ken Jeong, in the Hall of Fame before David Arquette.
Hell, I'll put Jeremy Piven in there before David Arquette.
What do you call that? Summer, was a nice Summerfest.
Summerfest. Yeah. God. I put Pee Wee Herman in there before David Arquette.
Bob Barker.
Bob Barker.
Yeah. Price is wrong, bitch.
Shoot.
And the Muppets.
Oh God, yeah, the Muppets. I told that was
the Muppets, damn it.
That was actually better than I thought, you know, but
oh yeah, you saw the Muppets movie, didn't you? You talking the Muppets movie or them?
No, the actual Muppets Raw. Yeah.
I vaguely remembered it.
Don't you talk bad about the Muppets, damn it.
And that was in Atlanta.
Oh, I grew up on Muppet Babies.
Right. I still have a spot in my heart for them.
Yeah, you got to grow up on the Muppets, though. Muppet Babies was the joint, though. I can't front. You know, I've had some people argue with me, like, "Oh, Muppet Babies was better than Muppets." I was like, I'm not touching that one, homie. Politics, religion, Muppets. I don't argue about
Muppets,
that stuff.
I don't argue about Muppets. Yeah. I don't know about that one, homie.
Yeah. You've obviously not seen the Muppets movie or Muppets Take Manhattan.
Obviously not.
No.
Now those are classics.
Yeah.
That about wraps up the WrestleMania talk, which can lead us straight into Monday Night Raw, which had The Rock kick off the show. And what's take from this was him showing the goosebumps on his arms from the crowd, which was another Miami crowd, and him announcing that he will one day be WWE champion again.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, okay. You know, I want to see how he pulls this off, but, you know, more power to him.
After I'm done promoting G.I. Joe and I'll be away for a few more months, I'll be back and I'll be champion.
I guess that'll have to happen next year because, I mean, he got G.I. Joe and I think he's going to be filming one or two other movies this year. So,
yeah. Maybe like Hercules or something like that.
Yeah. That's people start shooting that in the fall sometime.
Yeah, the right.
He's doing that Michael Bay movie too soon.
He's doing the Michael Turtles. Bay movie?
Yeah. No, he's in this movie called Pain and Gain. It's about this basically a crime ring that took place in Miami in the early 90s. I think Mark Wahlberg's co-starring with him in it.
Marky Mark.
Yep. Don't call him that.
Shit blowing up.
No. Well, who knows? I mean, it's a modest budget for a Bay movie. I think it's like $35 million.
Michael Bay will blow shit up using like $5 and a tin can and some shoestring.
He's the guy for now?
No, he just likes blowing shit up. He's like the world's most, overrated explosive specialist. Yeah, y'all call him director if you want to. All he wants to do is blow shit up.
That's all he wanted to.
You like Transformers. Whatever. I don't know shit about Transformers. Let's blow some shit up.
Let's blow some shit up. He's a fucking power maniac.
Ninja Turtles. Let's blow some shit up. Bad Boys. Blow some shit up.
Blow some shit up.
Pearl Harbor. Oh, wow. That's great. There's a lot of explosions in Pearl Harbor, but I'll do it. Right. Fucking pyromaniac.
Yeah.
I know, right? Speaking of Michael Bay, let me interject this in here. I don't know if y'all have found out or noticed that he is actually Platinum Dunes, his production company, whatever, is going to be taking over the Halloween franchise.
Right. Oh, yeah. I read that. Yeah. In fact, that company, they've done all the remakes. The Halloween, like stuff, like Friday the 13th and Nightmare and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And Texas Chainsaw Massacre, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. Oh God,
there's too many damn reboots, man. Everything's a damn reboot. I heard you guys last show. You talking about RoboCop and all the different reboots that are happening. And I mean, yeah, it might do some justice and change some things, but you know, it's like. I guess I'm from that school of thought where it's like, well, if you're going to make all these damn changes, just make a new movie, call it something else. And, you know, and not even for preserving the legacy, it's just annoying as hell. You know, just you're just going to keep, you know, you're not perpetuating a legacy. You're just making money off of it. You're capitalizing. You know, basically. It's like, see through it. The kids, they don't care, you know, but the people that, you know, people like us, it's like, well, you're kind of not getting my ticket. You know, you're not getting my money for that.
Right.
You know, get fooled once or twice, you know. like, oh, the first Transformers, I'll check that out. And then after this, after that, the second one, you're like I did not see the third Transformers. I still refuse to watch it. I'm sure it was better, but after that
No, it wasn't.
It left a horrible taste in my mouth.
That was the worst 2.5 hours I ever spent in my life. That was just the biggest steaming pile of bullshit I've ever fucking seen. I've seen some that I don't know what the fuck's going on with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much action in that movie, it's boring. That's how much action it was in that last, especially what, the last hour or so?
Right, right.
And I think the problem I have with the reboots and all these, the remakes, is the time that they spend or the time that they wait to put them out. I mean, it used to be when there was a remake, like in the '80s, it was a remake of like a early '60s, or it was, you know, it was more time. Now it's like 19 years passes and they want to remake it or reboot it,
right?
You know, or not even 5 years. They're like, oh, well, forget that shit. Forget that there was a Spider-Man. There's a new Spider-Man. Here you go. You know, we're telling the story all over. Like, wait a minute, didn't I just, you know, I still got the DVD at home of the last.
Right.
The hell is this shit?
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's, they're re-releasing those on Blu-ray again, Larry.
What?
Yeah, I know. They are. They're just doing to capitalize on the new movie. That's all. That's nothing going to be any different from the original box set that that was already out. So, I mean, fuck it. I mean, if you can get that original box set for like 20, 30 bucks, I say get it. Because the only thing they changed was the cover art for the movies. And it's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Go give me some cookies, girl. That was the only good part of Spider-Man 3. Evil Peter Parker up until the dance. Yeah.
Up until the dance. Yeah. That was, Let's not dance ever again. But, you know, this is the odd thing about me. I hate Spider-Man 1, hate Spider-Man 2, but I actually like Spider-Man 3. I don't know why. You know.
Well, I guess I'm the opposite because I'm a huge Spider-Man fan from the comics. And, you know,
right.
1 and 2 were great for me. 3 was like, what the hell? And, you know, the shoehorning Venom into 3 at the last minute and making a dude from that 70s show, Eddie Brock, it just did nothing for me.
Well, you can tell that was studio interference on that one because he never wanted to really do Venom. He never wanted to do Venom.
Yeah, right. I mean, that would have been a great setup for 4. Just having Eddie Brock in and, like, at the end of the movie or something, he becomes Venom. It's like, whoa, now I got to see Spider-Man 4 because now he's going to face Venom in a whole movie. You know, right. That made more sense. It's like they told the whole Venom story in 30 minutes.
Right. You know, but he wasn't even, like, interested. No one was interested in that movie to me except for Sandman, you know. I mean, he was like the only character that had some kind of, I was actually gave a damn about what happened to his character. I mean, I like how they actually played that. But other than that, you know, I mean, I just like it because, I mean, the movie looks good and, you know, it sounded real good on surround sound.
Great special effects. I mean, can't deny that. You know, I kind of like seeing the battles and stuff. But, yeah.
So back to Raw. Santino took on... Who did Santino take on? He took on Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger in a triple threat match and retained. And then after the match, they tried to jump him, but Brodus Clay came to the rescue.
Yeah, man, the Funkasaurus finally injected into an actual storyline.
He was standing at the top of the top of the ramp, and Santino was hiding behind him. He was like, "You want some? Come get some."
There you go.
Wow. Should I get him?
Here's the thing. Here's what I want to know, because I still got on DVR. I'll watch it later today. But did the dancers get down? Was there any dropping it low by Naomi?
They didn't even come out, actually.
No, I think they did.
During that segment?
At the end, I think they came out.
Oh, that's right. They came out and danced. Yeah, they did.
And Santino danced, too.
With the snake.
I thought he probably did that stupid ass trumpet. Yeah,
another one of those dumbass moves. But yeah. Anyway,
Lord Tensai made his debut, aka Prince Albert,
aka A-Train,
and squashed Alex Riley.
Poor Alex Riley.
He didn't even pin him. They had to stop the match because he couldn't continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they made the Albert look Japanese or something. I don't know.
Now, he spent some time in Japan. I think that's the impetus behind this storyline with him is he actually was in Japan wrestling over there. So I don't know if he took on this character or they did it because he was in Japan. I would think it's interesting. I still haven't seen what he looks like, but if they're bringing him out and having him squash dudes.
He has a couple of tattoos across his chest and shoulder. And
he had Japanese Ryan on his face.
Yeah, that's probably just inked on.
I would hope so.
So was he still dressed like A-Train, or did he come out like a kimono or something? Or?
No, he just had some red tights on.
Yeah, well, he came out wearing some type of mask, like almost like a ninja mask when he came out. But
yeah, he looked like a shogun.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he had like a manservant or something with him, a Japanese manservant helping him out.
Yeah, I saw that guy's now on Twitter.
Oh, God. Everyone's on Twitter.
I have no idea if...
Who, Japanese manservant?
Yes, Lord Tenzai.
Oh! I thought it was like at Japanese manservant.
At Japanese manservant.
Yeah, I didn't pay enough attention to catch what his name was.
I gotta copyright that. That's gonna be my Twitter handle. When I finally get my Twitter page set up. Yeah,
Japanese manservant.
That goes back to why I came here, Larry. You got to get on Twitter, homie. I mean, we're Facebook friends, but don't nobody go on Facebook. I mean, I go in there, my auntie's all my business, so I'm like, nah, I'm chill. Get on Twitter, man. There's all kinds of ratchet stuff going on Twitter, man. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, you keep up with the news. You know, people are in a furor over Mary J. Blige singing about chicken on Twitter. Man, you cannot lose Twitter.
Yo, she has a new Burger King commercial where she's singing about fried chicken.
Yeah, crispy chicken.
Crispy chicken.
Oh, God.
She is saying her ass off about that goddamn chicken.
Plug in our site and show. I did post the article to cultsofthepodcast.com today about Mary J. Blige singing about chicken. Basically, you know, she's not the first to do this. You know,
she looks funny as hell doing it.
Yeah, I mean, she does, but she's not the first to, you know, kind of go below their celebrity to sell some food products. So I do have, like, a series of videos and links to other, you know, artists doing that. One such artist, I didn't realize this, it was told to me today by a good friend, Ella Fitzgerald had a spot for Kentucky Fried Chicken back in 1980.
What?
I'm serious.
Really?
Coldsofthepodcast.com. Your listeners, go check that out.
I actually think I remember that commercial.
Yeah, and it was a young 9-year-old Shanice Wilson was in the commercial with her. And just scatting and Scooby-Dooing about Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Yeah, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then MC Hammer doing the spin move in the air, popping popcorn chicken. What was another one? Your man, George Costanza, Jason Alexander, doing the dancing in the street for McDLT, the Mickey D sandwich.
Oh, God.
Well, you separate the hot, the beef
the
patty.
The hot side stays hot. The cold side stays cold.
That's right. That's right, dude. So, that's what we do on coldslitherpodcast.com. I just think of old shit and just put it up there. People are like, how do you remember this stuff?
I remember there was an Alf Burger King commercial where there was like puppets singing and stuff, and there was like a lot of rapping, and the black family was getting down with the puppets and stuff. And
it's embarrassing shit like that. Yeah, I didn't even put that one on there. I'm going to have to go and edit that one in. And then my favorite of all time is McDonald's. This wasn't a celebrity, but the Mickey D's commercials with the McNuggets loving, and dude was singing the R&B song about McNuggets.
Mm-hmm. I remember that fondly. yes.
Creeping with McNuggets.
Oh, God. All right. What else happened on Raw? Yeah. I got to go in just a few minutes.
All right. Yeah, we should finish Raw, and that can be the end of the show. CM Punk took on Mark Henry in a pretty good match.
Yeah, they had enough time. They had a lot of time to do it too. It was a real good match.
CM Punk made Mark Henry look like $1 million, and at the end, of course, I actually forget how the match ended. did Mark Henry pin? I mean, did CM Punk?
I think it was a count out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mark Henry tossed CM Punk outside the ring, and Punk couldn't answer the 10 count. But then afterwards, Chris Jericho came out and poured a bottle of Jack Daniels over CM Punk and then busted the bottle over his head.
And then he tried, but when he tried to do that dropkick and he slipped into liquor, that was funny.
So yeah, he was just trying to stomp him and he slipped.
Wow, I got to see this now.
Oh yeah.
So is this setting up? Obviously, everything tonight set up or on Raw set up Extreme Rules. You know, the next pay per view.
Right.
I wonder what the extreme stipulation is for CM Punk and Chris Jericho. Is it going to be like a liquor on a pole match or something?
God, I hope. Like a bottle on
broken
a
bottle match.
Yeah. Well, that would require like stabbing. That's like a prison scene thing.
Yeah, with special guest referee Ron, Hall of Famer Ron Simmons of the APA.
Right. Or loser gets to eat the tequila worm. So, you know.
Oh, good. Eat it!
Shout out to Posey guys.
But, you know, when Jericho was out there, I was like, you know, he was like, you know, I don't drink in excess and I don't have any problems with alcohol. I'm like, dude, didn't he get arrested twice for DUIs or something like that? But, you know. Yep.
Didn't get fired because he was a main eventer.
Yeah. It helps being a main eventer.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you know, when you have a substance abuse storyline, that's kind of, I don't know. It's because it's wrestling and it's a cartoon, pretty much, it's hard to, I don't know. It just seems weird putting it in. But I'm going to hop on off, y'all. Enjoy the show. Classic.
Oh, nice, thank you, Rich,
man.
Later, man.
All right.
All right.
Have a good show.
Have a good show.
And then we had Sheamus coming out to the ring, and he was interrupted by the returning Alberto Del Rio.
You like him way too much. You just yelled that man's name into my ear. I appreciate it.
And then I was going to say, they said SmackDown for Friday, where it'll be Sheamus taking on Alberto Del Rio, and if Del Rio wins, he gets a title shot in the near future.
No.
And then at the end, I believe, Alberto Del Rio got bro kicked by Sheamus, and then we had Daniel Bryan and AJ watching intently in the back.
Interesting.
Hmm. Not really much else to say about that because no one cares about Sheamus or Del Rio.
No.
Sheamus. Sheamus is just going to move units of WWE merchandise in Kmart, you know.
Right. That's it.
And then at the final segment had John Cena coming out. He said some stuff. Oh, how he – what exactly did he say? He respected the fans' decision, and he was going to be a stand-up man, and he wanted The Rock to come out, and he was going to shake his hand and congratulate him for being But The Rock did not come out. Instead of Rock, we got Brock.
Oh, yes.
Not Brock Lee, but Brock Lesnar.
Not really excited about that.
His entrance music still goes hard, though.
It does. Yeah, I was checking Twitter. Larry, another reason to get it in case you're out and about. But, you know, I'm watching the national championship game, and I'm like, check Twitter, you know, see what's going on. And all I see is Brock, 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 all up and down the timeline. I'm like, you know, people are going crazy.
I'll set up the Twitter thing probably tonight, maybe tomorrow. I'll do it.
You can always change your name also as long as you know, someone else doesn't already have the name. So you can constantly change your name if you want to.
Oh, no, that at Japanese manservant, that's mine. Gotta have it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's enough characters, but you might be able to squeeze that in.
Yeah, they had a little limit on your number of characters. But you shall see when you sign up.
Just, I shall.
You can shorten it or remove some letters here and there.
Yeah, so I felt like I was missing something when I saw that Brock Lesnar that made his return. I was like, wow, I should have stayed home. But You know, from what I understand, he, you know, still looked a little, you know, not in wrestling shape just yet.
Well, they on the Titantron, they showed the the old clips of him, and he's all jacked and had the no neck and just had muscles on top of muscles, and he came out in a t-shirt and wind pants, but his arms went all cut. He was in probably MMA shape, but not WWE superstar shape.
Yeah, and plus he had to deal with that disease he had with the verticillitis or something like that.
Yeah.
So I mean.
I guess the rumor is that he was going to sign a one-year deal with the WWE.
Yeah, I'm surprised Dana White let him out of his contract or, let him do this because all you heard from, from the internet was, Dana White still got him on the contract. He's not coming back, whatever. He's not going to let him come back. In fact, that's kind of what was said on the WrestleCast that we had. I forgot who said it, but they were like, oh, yeah, he ain't coming back. But
yeah, I'm as far as wrestling goes, not sure Brock will be able to bring it in the ring, even in promos. But the segment actually ended. Brock circled the ring. He came in. John Cena, I don't know why, tried to shake his hand, and he grabbed his hand and scooped him up and hit him with the F5.
Yeah, it looked like John Cena was trying to welcome him back to the WWE. Seen a long time. Hey, how you doing? Not realizing that Brock was out there to pretty much dismantle him. Which anytime a wrestler makes a return, they're not just going to come out and say hi. They're going to come out and like hurt somebody.
Right.
Assert their will. So I can see Cena finally going over on Lesnar on a returning Lesnar, particularly because there's still that ring rust or whatever. But I don't know, Cena catching beat downs two nights in a row. He's like become the whipping boy now. He's like Danny LaRusso in the Karate Kid series, man. Every episode he's catching a beat down.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I was talking to Rodney earlier today. I'm like, I don't understand why. I mean, what are they doing to Cena? Are they like trying to like just give him reason to turn heel? He's so pissed off that of getting his ass kicked, that I'm just gonna hate everybody. I mean, what the hell are they doing?
And, I don't know. I think they're trying to make people sympathetic to him. Either that or and he did go on Twitter today and he wrote, now more important now than ever before, hashtag rise above hate. Which is his current catchphrase, right. Rising above hate or whatever. I think they're trying to set it up so that, the odds will be severely stacked against him. He's on a losing streak. Everyone's beating his ass up. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he comes back, and it's not just the five moves of doom. You actually see John Cena evolve into someone that can, triumph. It'll be a great story for the kids. With the match last night, up until he tried to get cocky with the people's elbow, he would have earned a lot of respect if he had beaten The Rock soundly. Like The Rock would have got up, shook his hand, and that would have been the storybook ending. That would have just, gotten Cena a few more fans back. Now it's just like no one cares. No one's sympathetic to his cause except maybe little Jimmy in the front row.
Right.
Yeah. You're like, Mommy, why is John Cena getting beat up all the time? It's like, kid, you shouldn't have picked a loser to, get behind. or as someone told this kid at a Mets game I was at a few years back, you should have picked a better team to follow, kid, because he was all crying and everything. That was like the cruelest thing you could have told somebody.
That's fucked up.
That's under the age 10. Like, you should have picked a better team, kid.
Beat it, kid.
Pick the winning team.
Yeah, you should have been a Yankees fan, kid. Like, oh, jeez. It's that's horrible. Up. Yeah.
Poke shit. I feel sorry for him.
So
instead of getting rematches with The Rock down the line, for now, John Cena gets to play around with Brock Lesnar.
Looks like that might be Extreme Rules or setting up or going into SummerSlam or something. Who knows?
Or keep John Cena busy until SummerSlam when Rock comes back, perhaps.
Yeah, and I could see that being a triple threat if Brock Lesnar's still around, or one of those, big cluster matches that Vince likes to do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I was reading today, I think Brock is contractually obligated to actually be around until next year's WrestleMania. He's obligated to make two appearances a month, at least two appearances a month. You know, they can ask for him to make more appearances, but he can decide if he wants to show up or not. But he has to make at least, you know, two. So I'm assuming that's going to be Raw and a pay per view. So that's how his deal is going. You know, no question on dollar amounts.
Yeah, dollar amounts don't really matter much to me.
Yeah, and I'm sure these guys, I mean, they're getting broke off a pretty penny because the WWE is a billion-dollar business, you know.
Right. And they had to make it worth his while to even come, so.
Yeah. All right. You look at WrestleMania, they spent millions just to get that program up and running. You know, it's a huge event, which is kind of why TNA is never going to really catch up because they just don't got the money for it. You know,
right.
They get to a point now where, like ECW, talents not getting their checks on time and stuff like that. You know, that Penta Energy money's not going long anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, Dixie Carter's mother is running the company, and she's kind of put a stop to some of the funding. She's like, putting a tightening on the purse strings. You know, she's like, we're not going to ruin. And the same thing that happened with AOL Time Warner. They're like, we're not going to waste all this money on wrestling. Yeah, you know, with the WCW, right. You know, who knows what's going to happen with Impact.
Oh, well.
Yeah, we'll wait and see.
We'll see Stephanie McMahon show up one day on there.
But speaking of selling out, I didn't really have too much appreciation for that Discovery Channel Deadliest Catch segment either. With Mick Foley and Santino. It did, however, make me hungry for them crab legs. I was like, man.
Right.
I could go for some crab legs right now.
But I said, yeah, had me want some seafood. Not so much lobster, but maybe some shrimp, some fish fry going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where if you watch Deadliest Catch, you're going to watch it anyway. But it's not making me want to flip to Deadliest Catch and go, oh, man, I got to see this because Mick Foley and Santino were eating crabs at WrestleMania. Right. Now, if it was advertised that Mick Foley and Santino were on this thing trying to catch a marlin or something, and, you know, the possibility that one of them died, yeah, I'd tune in to Deadliest Catch.
I'd watch that.
I just want Santino off my TV.
Oh yeah, well that's the thing. You know, if he's trying to catch a 50-pound marlin and, you know, gets pulled into the sea and he's going, you know, turns up missing, that's the impetus for watching Deadliest Catch.
Oh wow,
see a murder. Hatred. Okay,
such hatred.
I actually like Santino. It's just, you know, that would make it interesting for me. You know, I can't even recall what channel Discovery is on my cable. Yeah, you know, I just run into it when they're doing like a surgery show or something. I'm like, oh, interesting. Right. So someone open.
But that pretty much wraps up WrestleMania and Raw. So I don't think we have much else to discuss. But Classic, I want to thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you guys. Thank you for having me. It's kind of like doing the Cults of the Podcast, only with different people.
Right.
Any this will be your chance to give shout outs, so the floor is yours.
Oh, nice. Shout out to Brittany Griner and Chicago Diggins. I'm watching the women's final right now on TV. Hopefully, shout out to my New York Knickerbockers. I'm sure they lost tonight. I didn't even watch that game. Shout out to Rebecca Lobo, just because. Let's see. Shout out to Miss Bree from our Cults of the Podcast, WrestleCast All Stars. Shout out to our WrestleCast All Stars. Shout out to you guys for having me on. Shout out to Larry for joining Twitter tonight with Japanese Manservant as his Twitter screen name. Shout out to Nick Jew on Twitter and Nicole the Jew, who I was talking to while I was waiting for you guys to come on. Shout out to Happy Gilmore because in the delay for coming on the show, I had to. I didn't mind the scene where Shooter McGavin told Happy to meet him on the grass on the lawn at 9:45 p.m. and the sprinkles came on. So I was like, wait a minute, I guess we're not having a show. But in any case, shout out to all those people. And, of course, a shout out most of all to you, the listener of this program and the Cults of the Podcast.
Yes, thank you for listening, people. And excuse the echo you're overhearing on the show. Some other shout outs. I want to shout out, of course, Cults of the Podcast, another podcast that I co-host on with classic and eclectic. I was going to say eclectic material, but it's just eclectic.
That was the original name for the show, by the way, was Eclectic Material, which Eclectic was pretty pissed. We went Coastal Defied. Shout out to Eclectic.
And shout out to the Eclectic Discussion Podcast. Check out his website at www.eclecticrelaxation.com. I try to spell it, but I'm sure I mess up the spelling.
Yeah. It just ends with a K like classic does, but it's T-I-K instead of T-I-C for in the word eclectic. I don't care much for that show. He's calling Batman a murderer. That's strong words.
Yeah, I'm still on the Batman episode. I'll finish that up probably before Friday comes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to that one. Yo, like I said, I got a couple shout-outs myself. You know, shout-out to Panasonic for being like the most persistent consumer electronics company in getting you and making sure that you're actually satisfied with your product. God, I mean, they call me like 5 times a day. Hey, do you like your TV? Like, damn it. Yes. The 15 times before that you called me, I told you that. And also shout out to Anthony Davis for being the ugliest dude in NCAA.
Fear the unibrow.
The ugliest world champion.
I know, right? Like Kentucky won last night. Who all don't know and won a national championship. And he looks like Bert. Hey, Bert. Yeah.
that would be Bert from Bert and Ernie.
Yes. Oh my God! But yeah, y'all look him up, y'all. Google his picture, and hide your kids.
Oh, Lord.
Where's
he? Where's he from? I'm just wondering.
Where's the kid from, man? I can't even remember where that kid's from. But it's obviously Mars, I think.
It can't be from some big city. Not with a unibrow like that, because he would have just been raised.
Dude, even if he was down here and went to school down here in Macon, oh, my God, dude, we would have killed that kid, man. It's like, really? Unibrow, dude? Like, what are you Albie Shore now? What is that?
South side of Chicago. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that he, you know, came up in a big city with that on his face for that long. Yeah. You know? But then again, as tall as he is, I'm sure people didn't want to say nothing.
Fuck that. Yeah. We would have made his ass cry.
Yeah.
Some more shout-outs to General Geekery and Unscoop Fire Crew. They're good supporters of the D-Click Nation podcast and the Coastal of the podcast. You already shout out Nick Jew. Shout outs to Get Off My Planet also. Tatum. I always forget the numbers in his name.
216.
216.
Animal Thug.
And I am Ben 87, I believe it is, on Twitter. Yeah.
Big Ben 87, yes.
87, yes.
And let's see, anyone else? I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. If I am, I apologize. But also make sure to follow us on Twitter at TheClickNation. We have the website, like I said earlier, www.theclicknation.com. And also, if you have any comments that you want to have read on the show, please email them to us at theclicknation@gmail.com. Also, make sure to leave us some comments on Stitcher Radio and iTunes, and we'll read them also. Yeah, and actually, I'm going to read a review because we have our first review.
Good stuff.
One second here. It just came to me.
Yeah. Yeah, congratulations to you guys for getting on Stitcher. I added that to my Stitcher station today.
Thank you, sir. Like I said, we're trying to do big things.
There you go, man. Big things in 2012, man. Onward and upward.
Big things popping.
Yeah. And I guess now that I've been on the show, I can give you guys an iTunes review. Like that last guess, you got sucked. But it's a great show.
Yeah, give us a review, and you may get it, and you will get it read on the show. Not may, you will.
Yeah. Well, are you guys gonna do that stipulation where if it's five stars, no matter what the content you read on the show, or will you read all reviews, or if someone says Tim Dog's a sucker and it's five stars, you'd be like, nah, fuck that, I'm not reading that.
I'm up for reading all reviews until folks start pissing me off.
Yeah.
Oh no! I think we should just read all reviews, and anybody who gives us a one star, bitch, you will get talked about on the show.
There you go. You got to give him a famous Larry rant. Mr. Exactly. Banff got to come out.
You know what I'm saying? We will get you, bitch. Yeah. We will get you.
Oh, one more question I got for you, Larry. Do you have? Because when he told me your name was Mr. Banff, and he told me what it meant, do you have a Banff wallet?
No, I do not have a Banff wallet.
Pulp Fiction, he got the wallet that says bad motherfucker on it.
No Banff wallets. I have been on the search for one. I cannot find one. I would love to. If anybody can find ones and just, email us, let me know.
Yeah, hey. You might have some female fans that are into embroidery or crochetry or whatever. They might be able to stitch you one or something and, send it in. Right. Ladies, if you're listening.
Banff
that shit.
That's right.
Our iTunes review is from Mr. Eclectic Relaxation himself, titled "Don't Turn Your Back on This Podcast." The Click, not even at full strength, put together a killer podcast. From the hilarious clip of the Boondocks to the end and chores, these guys entertained. Music, TV, cartoons, the educational breakdown of USA silk stockings, and the classic cartoon "The Tick" alone is enough to keep you laughing. Tim Dog might want to brush up on his hip-hop, LOL. but overall, this show is a keeper. Subscribe now. And this was from March 30th. So, okay. Thanks for the review, buddy.
Yeah, we're working on that Tim hip-hop thing. I don't know how that's going to work out, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying.
He's getting better.
Yeah, Tim's everyone's little brother on the show. On our show, sometimes we were like, "Tim, come on, man."
Right, exactly.
We know what you go through.
Right, hey, dude, you like that fucking song, dude? Really?
Yeah. What? Young Jeezy? What?
Oh, what? Young Jeezy and 2 Chainz all day, every day.
Yeah, when we had the first episode of the Coast of the Pie, name your favorite all-time rappers, and he was like, Young Jeezy. We were like, Young what? Who? We're an old-school show. What's it with Young Jeezy?
It's like, Young Jeezy, dude, who is that?
Project Pat, what?
3-6 Mafia.
Of all the people for you to mention.
Yeah.
That's your boy, dude. That's your boy.
Yep.
Swinging around on top of your head like a helicopter, what?
What?
I don't know about that. Yeah. But P. Pablo, I don't rep him.
Yeah. incoherent mumbling and drumline.
Right.
No lie. If you watch Drumline on closed caption with the P. Pablo part, it will guaranteed 100% say incoherent mumbling when he starts rapping. Closed caption cannot decipher what he was saying during that rap.
Ah, yes. Oh, let me find Drumline on Netflix.
That'll be how Larry spends the rest of his night.
Yeah. I should qualify that by saying it's probably not 100%, but it was when I was watching it one time on cable. I was like, incoherent mumbling. Whoa. Wow.
So that about does it for this edition of the Click Nation podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G, for D. Adam Black, who had to leave early. Mr. Larry G. the Polo King, a.k.a. Mr. Banff, and for Classic Materia. Thanks for listening. And don't turn your back on the Click Nation, or you might wind up in the body bag.
Yeah.
Boy, slap in the face, bitches. Deuces!
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Coming to green with them.